Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
I'm going to tell you a story about a guy who was in his early 30s. And this is a war of a different kind. And this guy was fighting the right way. He was doing the right thing. And he spoke out. He didn't shoot anybody. He spoke out and said something that got him arrested, became a prisoner of war, basically. And one day this guy, for doing the right thing and saying the right thing and somebody not liking it and arresting him, they put him in jail, and the guy who had had him arrested had a big birthday party. And at this birthday party, one of the queen kind of ladies, one of the wives, had a daughter, and this daughter came out and danced for the party, at the birthday party. And this guy who had had this guy arrested was so impressed with this and so overwhelmed with this, he says, "You know what? I'll give you anything you want, up to half of my kingdom." And the girl's got quite a blank check. So she goes and talks to her mom. And her mother says, "Tell him that I want, that you want, the guy who spoke out against us head on a platter." So this prisoner of war is in his cell, doesn't know what's going to happen, early 30s, not married, in a cell, a birthday party's going on, and all of a sudden the executioner shows up at his cell, and he is beheaded just like that. It's put on a platter, and they march into this big birthday party and hand it to the girl, and the girl takes this platter and takes it over and gives it to her mother. Some party. Gruesome, horrible, terrorist almost feel, you know, what's up with this? Who is this guy? Now some of you pick it up immediately. The phrase, you know, you'll have your head on a platter, comes out of the Bible. Turn to Matthew 14. And I want to talk to you today about whether your life is going to be a countless life or a life that counts. And I want to talk to you today about whether what you're doing is going to make a hill of beans difference in 1,000 years. If anybody will give a rip who you are, what you did, how much money you made, how much influence you had, will your life really count, or will you be one of the countless lives that pass through humanity? Matthew 14, verse 1. Let's read the story out of the book. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, he heard about this Jesus guy out there doing stuff. He goes, "This is John the Baptist," or John the Baptizer, and he was known that way because he went out in the wilderness and baptized all these people. "He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. This King Herod is terrified that this Jesus guy is John the Baptist who was beheaded, come back from the dead and haunting him and coming after him." So what happens? "For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said," not anything but spoke, "John had said to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" Now what had happened here? This King Herod had taken his brother's wife and the relationship was wrong. John spoke out against that. It made her mad, and she had John arrested. For what? For saying something that's true, for speaking out. So he's arrested. But when Herod, and here it is, verse 5, "And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, 'Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter now.'" Guys, I don't even know how you ask for that. There are things going on today completely out of your control. You may not be locked up in a cell and on the verge of getting your head decapitated, but guys, there are things going on where the enemy, the guy that runs this world, and God allows it, is out there weaving his web. It's your boss, it's your job, it's people who work around you, with you, supposedly for you. There is stuff you say, well, it sounds like there's some kind of conspiracy. You better bet you there is. The book said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his plan for your life. And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and you've got to pick a plan. But even if you pick the right plan, you could get your head taken off. You say, well, where is God in all this? God allowed it. Now you say, why? I don't know, guys. Young 30-year-old guy, and it turns out this guy was Jesus' cousin. If you go back and read sometime around Christmas time, when Mary got pregnant with Jesus, the Virgin Mary, she walked in to Elizabeth, her cousin's house, and the Bible says that the baby leapt within her womb. John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, boom, jumps in her womb because Mary walks in with the Son of God, God in the flesh, inside her womb. Something happened. And this isn't about abortion. But I'll tell you what, guys, that is one of the many reasons why abortion is not good. And forget being politically correct. If you want to know where I stand on abortion, it's wrong. Okay? It is killing a person. Jesus was God in the flesh when that seed was planted in that womb as much as he was when he came out of that womb. Anyhow, that's a whole nother Sunday. Don't miss that one. This guy, and you go back and read in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that John the Baptist would come. He was chosen. He was named before he was born. The angel showed up to Zacharias, his father, and said, you're going to name this kid John. And when he was born, his mother named him something else. And John said, uh-uh. His name is John. And the story goes that it's written there that Zacharias had lost his voice. He couldn't speak until the kid was born. And when he said, name him John, his voice came back. And it was a miracle and just unbelievable stuff around this whole story. This is just not some guy. He's chosen, he's doing the right thing, and he gets his head taken off. Served on a platter to some chick who's danced for her mother. Now, where is God in all this stuff? Why in the world would I give my life to God? Why would I trust God? Why would I yield all control of my life and say, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, no matter what it costs me, I'm yours. Even if they take my head off, I got nowhere else to go, and I won't go back. Why is it better to do that, even if it costs you everything? Because if you don't, guys, you'll achieve whatever it is you're trying to achieve, but you'll get to the finish line and have lived a countless life, if it's not counting for Him. You say, but you mean God might take my job? Look, I don't know what He's going to take, but I know what He's given. He's given me His own Son. No matter what He takes, there's no way I'm going to get outgiven. Even if I give Him everything and I lose everything, I've still got everything. I've got a God who's given His own Son. Now, there are other things that happened before this. Let's finish this passage here. Verse 9, and the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him. He commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus when your head's getting taken off? See, that's what people want to know. And if you go read the account about when Jesus found out about this, it says he went away into a place by himself. See, it's not that Jesus doesn't hurt sometimes, guys. It's not that these things don't hurt God. It's not that Jesus didn't care. But sometimes God's plan overrides and supersedes and overwhelms even what we see and we think is best. You say, but this can't be right. John the Baptist could have done a ton of different, if he had lived to 70 or 80, why did he have to die? I don't have an answer for that, but I promise you somebody does, and I trust him. And Jesus could have raised John the Baptist from the dead, put his head back on his body, and brought him to life. Why didn't he do that? There's a reason. You've got to get to a place sooner or later where you say, you know what, I'm going to trust God or I'm not. I'm going to let him do with my life what he wants to or what I want to, and it's either going to be okay or it's not. What does it gain you? What profit does it have if you gain the whole world and lose your life? If you had literally the whole world when you died, you owned everything. You want to read something about that? Go read Ecclesiastes. Solomon, one of the richest guys who ever lived. And at the end of his life, you know what he said? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's like chasing the wind. No matter what you have, no matter where you go, no matter what you've done, it's nothing in comparison to knowing Him. All right, let me just read you this too, out of John chapter 1, verse 35. And again, the next day, this is going back in John's life a little bit. The next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, now John sees Jesus coming, and he says this, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you know what happened? The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John's getting a bum rap here, guys. This guy, if you go back and read his life, he's doing the right thing. He's proclaiming this thing about Jesus coming. The second he opens his mouth with all these people following him, he says, "There's the Lamb of God." You know what they do? They say, "Well, see you, John." They follow Jesus. Now, what does that do to you? This guy's getting pummeled. Turn to another passage. Matthew 11, verse 1. Now, I'm reading you this stuff, guys, because I think sometimes we all feel like John the Baptist. And you say, you know what, God? I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to live my life no matter what it costs me. And everything seems to go great for, you know, this God thing. They'll tell you, give your life to God. You're going to be rich, healthy, live happily ever after, right? It didn't happen. Where are you going to fit John in that picture? Early 30s. How many of you? Well, no, I won't ask that. Some of you don't want to admit to that. Anyhow, early 30s, maybe 30, 31, and he's dead. Look at verse 1 of Matthew 11. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison, now this is going back when John is in prison, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and this is what he sent them to say. Now this is the same John who in his mother's womb leapt. He grew up knowing Jesus, grew up knowing Mary, Mary and Elizabeth, cousins. He's cousin with Jesus. He knows the whole story. He knows he's been called, he's doing the right thing. He knows who Jesus is. But he sends two disciples from prison and says this, "Send them to Jesus and said, 'Are you the coming one or do we look for another?'" You know what happened to him? He got discouraged. He's in jail. This doesn't make a lick of sense. I'm supposed to be this big dog guy prophesied in the Old Testament that would come and prepare the way for the Messiah, and I'm stuck in jail and could be executed, as it turns out, any second. Where are you? If you're such a Messiah and you're going to deliver us and me, why am I in jail? Are you the one we're looking for, or is there another? Have we missed it? You ever feel that way? You know, if God is God and Jesus is Jesus and this thing is so great, why the heck is my life so miserable and it's upside down and I'm having struggles financially, emotionally, family, whatever it may be? Ever feel that way? Where is God? Now, when things are soaring, oh, well, whether he shows up or not, I'm okay. But when it all starts to seemingly fall apart, and we say, God, where are you now? When my brother's going to maybe go to jail. When my home's falling apart. When my business is falling apart. When my family is sick. When I don't know if this relationship with this girl's going to work out or not. See, I can go specifically around the room because I know enough of you. I know what's going on out there. It's tough. And you sit in the cell of your heart and your life and you say, God, what's going on? I better take my life back, because if I leave it with you, I'm going to lose it. If I sit here and don't do anything, someone's going to behead me. I'm going to be taken out and I don't want to go this way. And you have to make a decision either to take it back and do it your way or trust Him. Remember what Job said? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And the question is, where are you going to go if you don't trust Him, if you don't stay with Him? Who are you going to go back to? What are you going to go back to? You can't fix it. I can't fix it. The old way didn't work or I wouldn't be standing here today. Neither would you be sitting here today. All right, he says, "Are you the coming one or do we look for another?" Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, now this is where your encouragement comes. And guys, hang on till you get a message from Jesus, because it'll come. You know how you send a couple of disciples to Jesus and ask Him questions? You climb in your closet somewhere and you say, God, it's not mixing. It's not working. It's not making sense. I need an answer here. You got to help me, God. And it's just quiet. And you open the Bible and you read. And I'm telling you guys, stick with it. Stay in the book. Talk to God. Even if you hear nothing. It's like taking a trip with somebody from here to Abilene. If you know them real well, you can ride 2 or 3 hours and nobody say a word and it's okay, right? You ever been in a car like that? But you get in the car with somebody you know and love, you don't have to say a word, do you? The people you don't know, it's all this chit-chat stuff. Oh, hi, how was your week? You know, I want to sit and ride. And sometimes you're talking and God's not talking, but He's still there, okay? And sooner or later, you get a message. Look what Jesus sends back to them. Jesus answered and said to them, verse 4, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." You know what you need to hear sometimes? What somebody else is hearing and seeing. You know why this is so important? Why we take time to pray? Because on last Sunday, David was up here. You know what? This Sunday, David's down here. And if David doesn't show up, last Sunday you needed to hear David say, "Man, ain't God great?" But this Sunday, David needs to hear somebody else say, "We're going to make it." Tell him what you hear and what you see. You say, "Well, I'm not hearing anything. I don't see anything God doing." But you come in a deal like this, and you know what? You hear what God's doing in somebody's life, and you see the effects of that, and you say, "I think I'll hold on. Because if it can happen to them, and it has happened to me, it's coming again. And I'll survive this test. I'll weather this storm, because I got nowhere else to go anyway. Where will we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And we believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter said that. Here's what he told him. "The things which you hear and see," verse 5, "the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Go tell John that. All that stuff he said was coming and knew was coming, it's happening. Verse 6, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. And I think Jesus knew John was about to be gone sooner or later. But look at what Jesus says about this guy. And I don't want to stretch this too far, but let me ask you a question. What would Jesus say at your funeral if he was asked to speak? You're dead, and he's going to do the eulogy, and he gets up to speak. What would he say about you at your funeral? Would he stand and weep because he knew you'd missed it? Not life, eternity. And that you had said no to him all your life. See, a lot of people are banking on, "Oh, I'll make it to 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. I'm going to live a long life." You never count on being beheaded. Never factor that in. What if today's your last day? What if you're a Christian and he gets up to speak and he starts talking about, "Well, yeah, you know, I knew him, but man, I didn't really know him that well. And gosh, we talked about some stuff way back when, and he was going to do this and kind of took another turn and he did it his way. Really not much to say. He's going to be with me forever, but kind of missed the life thing. Never dealt with the issues we talked about. It's too late." Countless lives. Listen to what he says about John. Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. He talks about them going out in the wilderness to see him. "What did you see to go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Now listen to this. This is what you once said about you. "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." And I think he knew exactly what was about to happen. "For all the prophets and all the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He says there's not anybody among women born. I know what's going to happen to him, and I'm not going to stop it. But they don't get any better than John. No matter what happens to your life or in your life, guys, does not change the way that God sees you or feels about you. He loves you, period, in Christ. He accepts you. You're complete. You're perfect in Christ. Apart from Christ, you got nothing. But with Christ, you have everything you'll ever need. And if your life is taken today, and I got to tell you, I thought about this before I got up here to speak this. I thought, this kind of spooky deal. Because see, for all I know, I could never see you again. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" I don't know. What do you think I mean? I could walk out this door, go to lunch, have a heart attack, and be in heaven. It happens. So the question to me, not just to you, is it counting? Is this day counting? You say, "Well, what do you mean by that? How do you make your life count? What could I do if I knew tonight by midnight I'd be in heaven? What could I do today to make my life count? You got any ideas? What would make God happy? What if I dropped dead tonight and looked him in the face would be pleasing to him? How could I make it count? What do you think? Is there somewhere I could rush off to? Is there something I ought to do? What would make today count? What would make him pleased? What do you think? It's a good question, isn't it? Because see, if you don't have an answer to that question, then you're not sure whether any day counts. And they just keep going by and by, and you go, well, I hope this worked out today. And, oh, well, whatever. How are you planning to make today count if it's your last day? And what is keeping you from making this day count like it could and it should? What are you holding on to that could cost you a whole day and it could be your last? See, we don't want to think about this stuff. You know why? We got plenty of time to think about that. We're not dying today. And there's something very uncomfortable about this. You know why? Because you got to think about stuff. It's not just some nice little talk and you walk out and, oh well, back to life. Guys, this is your life. And if you don't make today count, odds are tomorrow's not going to be any different. You're going to keep living these days however you're living this one until all hell breaks loose and some crisis hits and you're broken and down on your knees and go, oh, God, help me. Don't make it go to that. Be wise enough to say, God, I'll do it without that because I'm going to lose this day if I don't. What would it take to make today count one day at a time and to not miss life? Let me read you one more verse. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4. And I'd underline this one if you underline stuff in your Bible. And if you want to later, go back and read 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to pick up in verse 6. And this is the Apostle Paul, and it's close to the end of his life. And here's what he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering," literally his life being poured out, "and the time of my departure is at hand." Now this is what I want to ask you, if you can say what he said about his life. "I have fought the good fight." And by the way, the word "fought" here in the Greek is agonizomai. It's where we get our word agony, agonizomai. I have fought the good fight. There is some agony associated with living. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He talks about the fight, the finish, and the faith. "I've fought the good fight." Are you fighting the good fight or have you just given up? Oh, what the heck? What difference does it make anyway? I'm going to quit. God's not coming through. I'm going to go back to whatever. I'm tired of messing with this. I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to get clobbered anyway. It doesn't matter. Why trust Him? Paul says, "I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race." Now let me just use this to describe that point. Some of you started the race and you fell on your butt and you won't get up. You started it. You were running just fine. You were in a pack. Everything's working. And you tripped, you fell, you screwed up, you made a mistake, and you know what? You're still on your butt. And another crew is coming by and saying, "Hey man, let's go." And you say, "No, I think I'm really hurt bad and I can't go, and you know, woe is me, and I'm stuck here the rest of my life." Get up off of it and finish the dadgum race. And don't do it by yourself. See, when you're up here and everything's great, you don't need anybody. But when you crash and hit ground, you better pray some crew comes by that'll help pick you up and brush you off and take you with them. Or you won't make it. You'll be sitting on the road by yourself. And there are people in a church, and part of the responsibility and what happens in church is we watch each other. And you come in one Sunday and go, "Whoa, what happened to you? Last week you're one person, this week you're down." And we care about each other. We say, "Come on, man, let's go. How can I help? I'll pray for you. I'll have lunch with you. I'll encourage you," because it could be you next time. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Don't give up on the faith. Keep believing. Don't go back. Make your life count.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
You know, there's another casualty in that war that John the Baptist was in, and it was Jesus himself. I'm past 33, guys, but I wasn't wanting to die at 33, especially the way he died. Never married, no kids. It cost him everything to get us everything. Don't miss it, like he said. If this is your last day and you don't know him, that's the worst thing that happened to you. You say, "Well, how do you know whether you know God or not?" You know. If the God of the universe lives in you, you know it. If he doesn't, you probably know it. You feel empty. If you don't know him, say, God, enough is enough. It's not just my life isn't going to count. I'm going to miss eternity with you, and I'm not going to let that happen. And whatever it is that's keeping your life from counting today, tomorrow, this week, guys, deal with it. It's as simple as sitting in an auditorium saying a simple prayer and saying, God, enough is enough. I'm back.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.